I was looking at the text as I do every week, and some weeks things just leap out at me, and that's lovely. I wish it was the norm, but it's not. But the thing that came to me is through these texts that I thought would be worthwhile sharing with you was, who should we follow? And in one sense, that's another one of those questions that has, a simple answer. Who should we follow? Jesus. And for our final hymn, but there's more to it than that. I like that part in Isaiah where we have Isaiah being called to follow. There's some discouragement in there, but God still comes and helps Isaiah work his way through what it is that he's struggling with. And then from there, we're reminded again, or Isaiah is reminding the people of Israel, that someone is coming. In 1 Corinthians, we have Paul talking about how calling on Jesus brings with it grace and many gifts. And he goes on to say, and let's not forget that the Corinthian church was a rather difficult one that had some real struggles. And its struggles came as much as anything from an excess of zeal with an insufficiency of education. The Corinthian church in some ways was a classic example of a little knowledge being a dangerous thing, because they did know they wanted to follow Jesus. They had some teaching, but they'd sort of lost sight of how it actually worked out. So it's interesting that Paul says that you Corinthians have everything you need when you followed Christ. God is faithful to provide everything you need. But by the way, there are some things that you need to address. And in 1st and 2nd Corinthians and in the lost letters in between, some of the things are pretty significant. How they got to there, I'm not always sure. But how they misunderstood ideas of equality and how everyone was the same in the sight of God, that everyone had gifts. It's easy to see how they might have missed that without some very explicit teaching. And it's quite encouraging to me that the Corinthian church, who us from our 21st century mountain of knowledge look back on and look down on, struggled with things that I see in myself and that I can see in other people. And one of the things that Paul says in there, that God is faithful. And it's God who fills in that gap. It's God who says, yes, you didn't know this. Even if you should have known, it doesn't matter. But this is what Paul is now telling you. This is what you need to do. And Paul begins by saying, remember, you have everything you need. And then we move on to our gospel lesson, where John is talking about John the Baptist again. And once again, we have John the Baptist identifying Jesus as who he is. And he refers to God's Spirit resting on Jesus. John testifies that he saw that very thing. And John had been told through the same Spirit that when he saw that, that would be a sign that the person was Messiah, was the Anointed One. And so when John points that out, John engages in what might be called anti-church growth, because a bunch of his followers leave and follow Jesus. Later on, we realize that John understood that was going to happen. It wasn't a bother to him. That was just what needed to happen. So John's disciples left John to follow Jesus because John said, this is who this is. And this is where we get into this whole following thing. Who should we follow? And yes, we all know we should follow Jesus. But who should we follow is a question that is still worth pondering, I think. Because those first followers of John were following the right person. That's all the person they had. They had John. John was the one who was sufficiently connected with God to know when the Messiah came that these would be the signs. So they followed John to get to Messiah, to get to Jesus. So we sometimes think that following is sort of a one-time thing. And maybe it is, but I'd like us to at least consider the fact that sometimes we follow people to where we need to go. And, we think of that famous remark that Mother Teresa made, that how is she called to minister to the poor? And she said, I wasn't. I was called to follow Jesus, and I followed Jesus to the poor. Which brings us into this whole idea. That's why John was okay with this, because John knew that Jesus was the one to be followed. And so when the followers came and said, where are you going? Jesus being Jesus didn't say, I'm going to this place or whatever else. He said, come and see. See where I'm going. And on the basis of John's testimony and whatever there was about Jesus that made him more than just a charismatic leader in the non-spirituality charismatic part, he obviously had a presence that people could see and were attracted to. So as these disciples come along, Andrew, remembering what John said about Messiah and interacting with Jesus, goes and gets his brother Simon and says, come, guess what? I have found Messiah. Come with me. And so he comes, and at that point, Simon is renamed Peter, Petros, Cephas, whichever one you want to use, the rock upon which God was going to build that church, and then follow Jesus on into a whole bunch of things through the rest of the Gospels. One of the things I'd like to point out is the who we should follow is actually a trick question. Because we know who we should follow. We know we should follow Jesus. It's tempting to follow Paul, and many people do. Pauline theology is endemic in the evangelical church and conservative churches. Even to a certain extent, there's quite a lot of it in the Catholic Church and in some of the charismatic churches as well. There's a lot of Paul in there. But we're never called to follow Paul. Paul himself says, stop following me, follow Jesus. He says, do what I do as I follow Jesus. But he never says, become like Paul. Paul was not trying to make Paulites. Paul was trying to make followers of Jesus. And so when we understand that our call is to follow Jesus, the thing that I want to sort of squeeze into the question without giving away where I was going in a sermon title, although why would I worry about that? I've done it more often than not, is that who we should follow doesn't change. But our intention to follow needs to be made on a regular basis. For some people, the way they're built is they set their mind on a thing they're going to do, whether it's follow Jesus or a New Year's resolution, because we're still in January, and they follow it. That's it. The single decision is enough for them to keep going forever. I envy those people. It's a kind of strength of will. They can be hard to be around. They tend to be rigid, at least the ones I've met. But at the same time, they are absolutely dependable. They've said, this is where I'm going, this is where I'm going. And you say, but there's a big rock in the way. And they say, well, then I'll crawl over the rock. You know, I don't care. I'll go around the rock. The rock is just a rock. I'm still going there, and that's all there is to it. For most of us, it's a little more complicated than that. And so we need to decide. And once again, here I am talking for people. I don't want to talk for you. This may be something for you, but because it's definitely for me. I need to decide to follow Jesus over and over again. In a way, it reminds me of a lot of the sort of the phrases in the recovery movement about one day at a time and that kind of thing. Because what it does, or the mindfulness movement that we're in now a part of, is it's saying, this is the moment we have. The moment in the future, yes, we believe that there is a future. And the moments in the past, and yes, we believe there's a past, they don't exist in practical purposes. All we have is now. And the decision that I made to follow Jesus any length of time ago may continue to inform who I am today, and it may help me do the things that I need to do, but every so often I need to say out loud or write it in my journal or do something that is really significant and say, I am going to follow Jesus. Because the who we should follow is settled, the continuing to follow is where it gets hard. It's easy to follow Jesus, for example, if you have this extraordinary spiritual experience at a Bible camp, which many people have had, and you're surrounded by people who remind you all the time of the decision you've made and how wonderful it was and how you felt and all that. And it's as easy as possible to follow Jesus there. And then you get back and maybe you go back to school if you're still in school, or you go back to work if it was an adult kind of camp. And you go back to work and you have changed. You're following Jesus, but that guy over there is every bit as annoying as he was when you left, maybe more. And so it's easy for us to fall back into who we were before. And I'm not saying we have stopped following Jesus. It's not like we have abandoned following Jesus. But we've lagged behind a bit. Because one of the things Jesus said is, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you always. So if Jesus isn't close to us, it's because we've stepped back, not because Jesus has taken off. And even then, Jesus is still with us. It's one of those theological conundrums that's hard to wrap your head around. But nonetheless, there are times when we will find ourselves a little distant from Jesus. Not that we have stopped to be a follower of Jesus, but we've stopped to be a close follower, if you will. My late spiritual director, Dennis, used to say, how often do you specifically invite Jesus to be with you at work? At home, at any time, other than when you're desperate. And I realized that, you know, I sort of put the followership of Jesus into this, yeah, that's done category, which was true, but not helpful. And so I would encourage all of us, particularly me, in these days when I'm struggling with loss and trying to come to grips with, you know, a brother who's injured, but who's too far away for me to get to, and just the usual things of life. My life is lovely. I don't want to, I don't need people to suddenly think, oh no, Barry's life has fallen apart. It has not. But there are things that I wish I could do that I can't. And it makes it easier for me to lose sight of the need for me to follow close on to Jesus. And the way I do that is by saying it out loud, by writing it in my journal. However you do it is up to you, because you are you and you are unique in your interactions and your relationship with God. But what I do is I write it down saying, Jesus, I need you to show me how to go. Jesus, I need to follow you more closely. Help me catch up. Those sorts of things. Because the who I should follow is no longer an issue. I never wake up in the morning and think, you know, maybe I should get myself a calf, preferably gold, and I'll follow that. You know, I don't get up in the morning and think, I better get out there and become a millionaire. I don't think those things, but I sometimes think I'm too tired to do what I know I should do. Or I sometimes think, does Jesus really care? Those are when I'm having a bad day, and I have bad days. And the Holy Spirit frequently nudges me quite gently, more gently than I would nudge myself if I thought of it, to say, yeah, we care. We care a lot. And we want you to be closer to us so we can help you in ways that you see, because we're always with you. We're always helping you. But we need to be aware of the fact that we have some part in there. We need to pick up our cross daily. And for most of us, the cross isn't really heavy. For most of us, the cross is going to work. It's dealing with a neighbor's yappy dog. It's going to Costco on a Saturday. You know, if that isn't a cross to bear, I don't know what is. When we do those things, it brings us closer to the person who we are already following. Because Jesus never really said, worship me. Jesus said, follow me. Be like me. See what I do and do the same. which is gratifying to me, because the things that Jesus asks us to do aren't the things like go to the top of a mountain and have other people dressed in white appear. It's feed the poor, seek justice, visit widows and orphans, care for those who need care. It's doing the things that we as a congregation are trying to do already. This is a message of encouragement, saying continue to do what you're doing, because this is who we are as people. We already know who we should follow, and we're already following Jesus. But maybe, just maybe, it wouldn't hurt us a bit to just zero in and try and get a little bit closer so we get the nuances, so we can see those things we might otherwise miss. I like being a follower of Jesus. It's not always easy, but I wouldn't have it any other way. The challenges that come don't come close to overshadowing the rewards of making a difference in the lives of people, and I wouldn't be doing that if I wasn't a follower of Jesus. So who should we follow? Jesus. When should we follow Jesus? Always. How closely should we follow Jesus? Well, as close as we can. Amen.